I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Far away in Tonga, and I saw that they had this poster of Bishop in their church, you know, and there was this one brother who was sharing a testimony, and as he was sharing the testimony, he was saying, I thank God for the life of my pastor, my bishop, my father, you know, things like that, and then he would refer to him, you know. Then I realized that those of us who are around here, we're used to, you see, but over there, they need something like that. Do you understand? To even appreciate what God has given them and how they are getting what they have and the one through whom God has made that provision. Amen. Amen. If you're following someone, it's important to know who the person is. Do you get what I'm saying? And to know the person through and through. And so I think that such photos are important. They are not symbols of worship. I think you all know who we worship in this church, right? We worship the one and only God. Amen. But they serve a good purpose for helping us to know. And I'm saying that I thank God for his life because for him, the notion of mission work and sending people out there or even fulfilling what we call the Great Commission is not some theoretical something, you get it, that people just talk about. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not just some religious jargon, but it is something that he takes very seriously. And in a very practical way, through his direction and sending of missionaries and so on, people's lives are being affected in a real tangible way. Do you get it? I mean, you have to travel to see it. That people's lives are being affected by our ministry and by what we're doing. I'm so encouraged. I'm so encouraged because it's not a fable. It's not a way of talking. It's not just a line. It is actually real that people's lives are being affected. You know, I have a couple of testimonies. I don't know if Carol will be able to show them to us, but you know, the scripture I'm thinking about is how Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I'll show you one or two videos, but just Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Hallelujah. Then Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Hallelujah. This is what Christ has given to us. This is the mission that Christ has sent all of us on. Amen. All of us are sent on this mission. And all serious Christians must have this, you know, at the forefront of their minds. Do you understand? Not on the back burner somewhere as a passive thing that we sort of interact with maybe on a yearly basis during the month of missions. Are you getting what I'm saying? But we need to really be actively interested in missions and be interested in what Jesus asked us to do. This is what you read when you are sort of coming. Jesus, amen, amen. That's the end right there of the book of Matthew. Do you get it? Yeah. So these are the last words of Jesus. And everybody's last words are important.
Oh, yeah.
True or false? Yes, everybody's last words. The last thing anybody says, you know, before they die or before they leave or before they vanish, you know. The last thing they say is very important. And this is the last thing that Jesus said. Jesus could have said so many things. Jesus could have said right here, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Do you see what I'm saying? Jesus could have said right here, love your neighbor as yourself. He could have said that. I mean, these are all Jesus things, isn't it? What else could Jesus have said? Husbands, love your wives. He could have said that here. Do you get it? Husbands, love your wives. Jesus could have said that. I mean, he could have said that. But instead, Jesus re-echoes the reason why he came. Do you understand? He sort of repeats and goes over the reason why he came and gives us our portion of it. You get it? What we are supposed to do. And he says, we are supposed to go, verse 19, he says, we are supposed to go to all nations. And notice how he says, go ye therefore. So verse 18 must be linked to verse 19, which says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he says, go ye therefore. So that must be, or it must mean then that the power is given for going. Therefore, is it not the case? Look at it. Look at it. Connect the two together, 18 and 19. Jesus said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then verse 19, he says, go ye therefore. Okay, it's all right. You can just bring them one after the other. Okay, it's there? Okay. So all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You know, I have power in heaven and I have power in earth, everywhere in the earth. So feel free. Just go. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. It's like I've been given access to the world. So don't limit yourself to one place. Don't limit yourself to one town. Don't limit yourself to one city. I mean, if you have power that spans the earth, what are you doing in one little city? Do you understand? What are you doing huddled together in one little neighborhood? What are you doing so proud of Pasadena? Do you understand? Yeah. Yet Pasadena is just one small place in LA. You know, when you're on the plane trying to land and, you know, you see how vast LA is. And the other day when I was on a plane and as we were coming to land, I was trying to find our church. And I said, Lord, we're not even here. Don't even count us. We're not even here. You can't even find it. We're not even a dot. We're not even a dot in this vast alley. And I was praying and saying, oh God, please, make us count somehow. Make us count somehow. You know, let our light so shine. Or something, this, do something with us so we can at least make a greater impact than we are. Hallelujah. But look at it. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You know, and so I'm grateful that in this church, go ye therefore and teach all nations. It's not just a nice Christian verse, but that we do have people who have been sent out and we're continuing to send. And I pray that one day God will send you. Yeah. One day you will be the one who's gone out there. Yes, gone out there teaching nations. Teaching nations. You know, you can teach a nation. And it's real. You can go into a country and you're teaching them. You know, these people that we went to visit, they don't speak our language ordinarily. I mean, English, they don't. You know, they don't speak English. And yes, they speak their language. You know, yeah. But we can still teach them. You understand? We can still teach them. There is something you know, there's something you have that could greatly revolutionize somebody's life. You know, one of the testimonies on there, one of the brothers said he was walking down the road. He said he was actually looking for a woman. He said, you know, he said he went out for a stroll in the evening and he was looking for a woman. Yes. And then instead of a woman, he met the pastor. Instead of, you get it. I think there's another one. There's one that has this other guy. Yeah. But anyway, I'll show them to you. All right. So he says, instead of the woman, he met the pastor. And the pastor spoke to him about Christ, you know, and he gave his life to Christ. I think he invited him to the church and then, you know, and so he gave his life. He invited him to church and he did come and has been coming. Wow. And he said he was grateful that he went out that evening. And what was supposed to be the pursuit of a woman was rewarded with his salvation. You know? And if you don't understand what salvation is, you will not know that the greatest testimony anybody can have is how that their souls have been saved. Are you getting what I'm saying? The greatest testimony is not how that you were broken, God came through for you. Because honestly, if you remain on this earth, you're going to need a lot more of those. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're going to need a lot more of those testimonies. Do you get it? So it's not even that. Those are all great testimonies and they are things that the Lord does. But the testimony we must be excited about the most is a testimony about how somebody's eternal destiny has been changed. Do you understand? That is the greatest testimony. That's the greatest. I mean, to escape hell must be the greatest thing and must be the greatest thing and most important thing that happens to a person. You get it? And the way you know that it is the great thing or that it is the greatest thing is to check out what the price is that has been paid for people to avoid it. Do you follow what I'm saying? And that's in John 3:16. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, do you see, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He says, God so loved the world. God so loved the world. I mean, the world is so precious to God that he gave his only begotten son. If somebody has to give his only begotten son, you know, to make people not perish, but have everlasting life. That this not perishing, whether we understand it or not, just by the price that is being paid to avoid it, must get our attention. Do you think so? Just by what is being done to avoid it. You don't need to understand the details. Do you get it? Yeah, you don't really need to understand it. I mean, anytime I'm driving on the road and I see a detour where there's a diversion, where you're supposed to be heading this way. Now they block the road and they make everybody go this way, you know. I don't have to see what's ahead. I know that whatever is ahead must be very serious. Do you understand? When there's a diversion because of an accident, I know I don't have to see it. I just know it's not a fender bender. You know what a fender bender is? You know, just someone just bumps someone a little bit. Those things don't close out roads. Does it make sense? Those things don't close the road. They slow down the traffic a little bit. And even that slowing down of the traffic is because of something they call rubbernecking. Do you know what rubbernecking is? Yeah, that people will be stretching their neck to see. It's people who don't want to mind their own business. They are the ones that create that traffic. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, somehow we all are interested. You know, the other day I was driving by one, you know, and the people actually had gotten out of the vehicles and they were in a fist fight, you know. And I haven't seen one in a long time. So, it was really cool to see. The Lord forgive my sins. But, you know, I was quite interested. They actually just jumped out of their cars and they just started. You know, it's like, let's finish this before the police gets here. Those kinds of things, they don't close out the roads. But whenever you see that there's an accident, and that accident has now led to a complete diversion of the road, you don't have to see it. You just have to believe that if it's leading to a diversion, a detour like this one, it must be serious. Do you see what I'm saying? So you don't have to go to hell to find out that hell is serious business. Just look at what price has been paid to divert people from hell. Are you getting what I'm saying? Just look at what is being done to make people avoid hell. And you can see someone's only begotten son, that's all he has. His only begotten son is being given so that people can avoid hell. Then hell must be serious business. Hell must be no place for you to go to. No one must have an aspiration to go to hell. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Don't be deceived by the way we use the word hell. Get the hell out of here. That's nothing like that. Do you see what I'm saying? Or someone says, I'm going to make your life hell. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. Do you get it? But you must believe in health. Hell, and have a healthy respect for it. Do you see what I'm saying? If human beings know how, even on this island where they don't have much crime. No, they don't. Everybody's sort of good. But even there, they have a prison. they have a prison, yes. I actually met someone who was about to go to prison. He was going to begin his sentence. You get it? But he had asked this officer or whatever, can he begin after the church program? Do you understand? He said, can he stay out of prison till we finish the church program? And then after I'm gone, he can come and report, you know. So, and they let him. But what I'm saying is that even in such places, there is a place where they remove unwanted elements and punish them by incarceration, by keeping them excluded and secluded in a place. If human beings can do that, then we better know that God, who is the creator of this big world, can do something like that. Do you understand? A lot of things we do, we get them from God. Because we are made in his image and after his likeness. Do you see what I'm saying? So, it is a very important thing. Salvation is the best thing that can happen to anyone. And pray that God will use you as an agent of salvation for someone. Amen. That God will use you to affect somebody's life. God will use you to change somebody's life. And that's why Jesus said, I'm giving you power, because it takes power to change anybody. If you ever try to quit a habit, you realize that it takes power to change anything. Do you understand? You try quitting smoking, or you want to quit, you know, drinking, or even you want to stop watching movies, or you want to reduce texting. Do you understand? You see that it's not easy to break a habit. Hallelujah. It takes power to live right. It takes power to do the right thing. That is why John chapter 1 and verse 12. John chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, verse 11 says, he came to his own. Says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. He came to his own received him not. Right? But look at the next verse, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Can you see that? As many as received him, to them gave he power. So those who turned him away and those who said no to him were actually saying no to power. Isn't it? Those who said no to Christ. Anybody who says no to Christ or who says no to his representative is actually saying no to power. Do you understand? He says he gave them the power to become the sons of God. The power to live like a child of God. The power. Some people believe that everybody is a son of God. Everybody, all human beings are sons of God. Listen, if you're becoming something, then you obviously were not it before. If you have to have power to become anything, then you are not that thing. Is it not true? Yes. So if we were all sons of God, we wouldn't need power to become sons of God. We all are creatures of God, and that is true, God, that we live in God's world. And God made us, so we must, somehow he must own us somewhat. But that relationship is not one of a son and a father. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it says he gave them power to become sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, he gave them power to become sons of God. So there is a power we need, and there is a power this world needs. And that power is what changes. It is a power that transforms lives. It is a power. And that's why you must not underestimate the importance of your witness. Do you understand? You must not underestimate the power that you can introduce into people's lives. The power to break habits. The power to change their lives. I mean, you have it. If you will take it and go with it. If you will take it and go with it, you will be surprised that even you can be an agent of change for so many people. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Look at this verse in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, you know, I don't know if my message is making sense, but I'm really just sharing with you. I'm not, you know, preaching. It's preaching time, but I'm just trying to share a little bit. Amen. See, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. All right? So you can see. No, verse 1. When God wants to enter somebody's life, he sends people.
Wow.
Do you see? Says Jesus is after these things, the Lord appointed 70 other also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Do you get it? So the introduction or the beginning of your interaction with God, do you see, is the receiving of the person that he has sent. Which means that the beginning of the experience with God in people's lives is if you will allow God to send you. Because when God wants to visit people, he starts to send his people. He starts to send his disciples. He starts to send people who already know him. Do you get it? So he appointed 70 people and he started sending them to places where he himself would come. Hallelujah. Then he tells them in verse 2 that the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. Can you see that? Right. So then jump to verse 10. In verse 10, or well, maybe verse 8, he says, into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come near you. Do you get it? This is Jesus saying that when you enter a city, you know, eat what is set before you. You know, I'm trying to understand that, why eating comes first. But he says, whenever you go to a place, eat what they give you. Eat what they you know, yeah. Because one of the blessings of travel is what you get to eat. Do you see? Yeah, it's different dishes and, you know, meat marinated in coconut juice. Whoosh. All natural. Do you know? And it's cooked in leaves. It's cooked in leaves, you know. You know, and it's actually buried in the ground. The heat is from the ground. Talk about organic living. No. You can't cross the road. You can't cross the road and go into Whole Foods and buy something and say, this is organic food. No. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So he said, eat. So one of the blessings of going is what you get to eat. Then he says after that, verse 9, he says, heal the sick because it's a mission with power. Can you see that? He says, heal the sick that are therein and say to them, you know, that the kingdom of God is come near you. Who has come? You. But you're supposed to say to them that by your coming, the kingdom of God has come near them. You see, this is why Jesus called somebody wicked for not doing anything. You know, he told the story of someone who was going away and how the person gave talents. He gave talents to different people, and there were some people who actually used the talents, but there was this one person who hid the talent and didn't do anything with it, you know. And Jesus called him wicked. He said, you are wicked and lazy. Wicked and lazy. Wicked because you are not sensitive. Wicked because you don't care what happens to people. Wicked because you don't know that your talent or your little effort can make a difference. And lazy because you are lazy. Yeah. Lazy because you are lazy. Lazy because you always have an excuse. Because you always have some reason. Somehow you can never find the energy for doing stuff for God. But you always have energy and life and zeal and passion and zest for doing other things, for attending parties. I mean, you see people go to bed at 6 o'clock planning to wake up at 10 p.m. because they are storing up energy and stamina for going through the night. You see people at home dressing up and practicing their whole, you know. How it's going to go down tonight. You know. And they dress up in a way and just. You ever met some of those guys who walk like that? They kind of. You would think they were in an accident. You honestly think they are injured. But you don't know it's a kind of walk. You know. People have time. People have time to learn these things and practice these things. But when it comes to God, then people start to make excuses. So Jesus said, look, you are just lazy. You're just lazy. You're just lazy. Yeah. That's why you will not make a difference in somebody's life. You're just being lazy. Do you understand? Because you don't know that every interaction with you as a child of God is an interaction with the kingdom of God. Think about it. This is not Jesus himself. He's just saying the people I sent. Go back to that verse again, Luke 10. He says, he who receives you. No, go to Luke chapter 10. Yeah, he says, into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you, heal the sick that are therein, and then say to them, the kingdom of God is come nigh. Nigh is an old word that means near. Do you get it? So if you would go to somebody with the mind of sharing Christ or the gospel with them, what you're doing, by your arrival is the same as the arrival of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is saying. Are you understanding it? So look at it. Verse 11. He says in verse 11, quickly, please. Go back to 10. But into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you not. Because not everybody receives you when you try to tell them about Christ. Do you understand? See, some people get discouraged because they are rejected. But you have to understand that the fact that you have something good to offer doesn't mean everyone wants it. Do you always buy every good thing that's offered you? Yeah. So don't be surprised. Do you get it? Don't be surprised if you're trying to approach someone on outreach or with the gospel or trying to talk to your friend and because of that they don't want to talk to you anymore. Or they're trying to avoid you now. They don't take your calls anymore, or they don't respond to your message. Even they block you. No answer three. No answer four. No answer five. All right. So they block you because you're trying to preach to them. There are people who do that. They don't want your company anymore. And Jesus said, into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Then he says, notwithstanding. Notwithstanding means nevertheless. Do you understand? It means be ye sure of this. He says, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come near to you. So from your point of view, you see, from your point of view, don't judge, you know, or underestimate the power just because of how it was treated by others. Are you getting what I'm saying? You should not look down on the power. You should not diminish the power. You should not, you know, even pity yourself. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Because you're not doing anything wrong. He says, be sure of this. It's still the kingdom of God. People are saying no, but it's still the kingdom of God. It's still the power of God. What you have is still the power of God. It's still the power of God. They are the ones losing. They are the ones losing. You are not losing anything. Even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Wow. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. That if you were to come to speak to somebody about Christ, you would be the introduction of the kingdom of God into their lives. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the rule of God. That is why lives change when people come to know Jesus. Because it is an introduction to the kingdom of God. Now you are entering the kingdom of God. A system, a life that is now ruled and governed by God. How can that life not change? How can that life not change? A life that is governed by God. How can it not change? Are you understanding what I'm saying? How can a small cigarette resist the power of God, the kingdom of God? How can alcohol resist the kingdom of God? It can't. It can't. God has to say, let there be, and there will be. There will be.
I like it. We're preaching.
Yeah. So much power. So much power. And that power has been attached to going. He said, if you go and preach the gospel to people in places, you know, and in the one we read, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses, witnesses, witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth. So you see, it doesn't start from the utmost part of the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you were thinking, oh, wow, power, wait till I get to Tonga. Hey. You're thinking wrong. Wow. Are you getting it? You're thinking wrong. Because he says your witnessing begins right where you are in Jerusalem. Right where you are in Jerusalem, you can begin to make a difference. Do you understand? A little outside Jerusalem in Judea, you can make a difference. And further on in Samaria, you can make a difference. But it begins with right where you are. That's where it begins. And all he's asking you to do is to be a witness. As for witness, everyone can be a witness. Anyone who has encountered Christ can be a witness of Christ, can be a witness about what it means to encounter Christ. Anyone whose life has been changed by Christ can be a witness for Christ. A witness is someone who is just saying what he saw, what he has experienced, what he knows. That's all. A witness is not a mighty theologian. Do you get it? A witness does not have to understand deep doctrines. A witness does not have to explain. He doesn't have to know how to explain. The other day I met some guy. He was asking me, all right, so you guys are Christians? I said, yes. He said, so what? How do you baptize? Do you baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Or do you baptize in the name of Jesus? You see, let's just say this kind of confusion is what makes people not get saved. There was a boy in John chapter 9 who had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Do you get it? And in John chapter 9, is it time? Can I preach to you for just a few more minutes? Yeah? You guys owe me 2 weeks of listening to me, all right? Yeah, 2 weeks of listening to me, and I'm just trying to take 10 minutes of that. I mean, right? But in, go to Acts, what's John chapter 9, please. John chapter 9, there is this guy. You're going to like this story. It says, and Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth, right? And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Because there are some people, they explain everything. Right? So Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Right? Then, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Verse 5. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. I know you are stinking. Ew. Wow. Yeah, you see, you have to learn not to be too quick to speak and too quick to condemn and too quick to judge things because they don't line up with your perception of how it should be. Do you understand? Instead of thinking they are wrong, why don't you think you may not know enough? Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a very easy way to get out of those situations. Because we judge the other side because we assume what we know must be right. But you can help yourself because only one of two things is true. It's either you are right or that you don't know enough. Do you see what I'm saying? So he spat on the ground and he made clay. I mean, can you imagine if we had church service here? At the end of the service, we said, today I'm going to pray for every sick person. At the end of the service, I say, follow me. All sick people, follow me. And we go to the front garden over there. Then I start. Then I start to mix. And I mix.
What a healer.
I mix the clay, and then right after that, it's okay, I'll figure it out. So right after that, I ask, where are the sick? Everybody will say, I'm well. If you wanna have 100% healing, that's the way to go about it. Everybody will say they are instantly healed. I don't need this anymore. But let me just go on. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And verse 7. And God said to and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation is sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Right? Then the show begins. Verse 10. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Right? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Wow. I'm not afraid of you. I'm he. Right. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? Right? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. You see, now, this is what I'm saying. Everybody has a story that you can tell. A story that no one can take away from you. You see, this person has his witness. I mean, he's saying exactly what happened. He said, a man, he's called Jesus. He made clay. He anointed my eyes. And he told me to go wash in this pool. I went, I washed, and I received sight. That's my testimony. Then the next thing. Verse 12. They said unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. That's like asking, can you? A question. When you ask, can you, a question, you just said, I don't know. The man said, I don't know. They brought the Pharisees to him that aforetime was blind. They brought this blind man now to the Pharisees. Do you see? Then the next thing, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Right? Then the next one. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Summary. Right? Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. Do you get it? Why? Because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Wow. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. Okay, so there's a debate going on. Do you realize that sometimes there are some people who get into all these religious debates? They get into all these complicated debates and arguments that don't have anything to do with salvation at all. Do you see? So they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? Because now they are confused. One group says that a man who heals on the Sabbath day can't be from God. He's a sinner. He's breaking God's laws. And the other group is saying that, look, well, you may say he's breaking God's laws, but if the one whose laws are being broken doesn't mind giving miracles, then how can you say this? You see, so there's a debate. So now they call this guy and they say to him, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? Then he said, to me, he's a prophet. I think he's a prophet. You know, then verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him. Because there are some people who try to read fakery into every good thing. Some people think that if it's a church, no, people go there, there must be some other motive. Yeah, he's a young man, he's preaching, he must have some other motive. Yeah, one of my friends actually told me before, you are really blessed. You're really blessed. And I asked him, why do you say that? Then he said, you know, you have all these girls in the church, you have all these ladies. It's like you have access to so many ladies. You know, I mean, when he sees the church, his eyes are just you know, what is in his mind? He can't believe. I mean, how? Can be in such an environment where you just call the, you say to the ladies, come, and they come. You say, go, and they go. He thinks, wow, this is too beautiful.
What a brother. Wow. Mercy. Mercy. What a thought.
Often when people are criticizing things, they are revealing their own corrupt minds. Do you understand? Often what people say about good things is a revelation of evil in them. Because the Bible says to the pure, all things are pure.
Wow.
When you are pure, everything looks pure. That's why children can easily be lured. Because if you tell the child, follow me, he's just following you. They can't see any evil in following you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, but it is when people grow older, then they start to understand that, look, follow me can mean this, can mean that, can mean that. But when your mind is pure, you just see purity in everything. Do you understand? Yes. So the people said that Jesus was not real. The Jews did not believe. No, go back. The Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And verse 19, they asked them, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Right? Then they start to answer. The parents answered and said, we know that this is our son, number one. And number two, that he was born blind. Number three, it says, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Listen, everybody who's had an encounter with Jesus can speak for himself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You can speak for yourself. Tell your neighbor, you can speak for yourself. Yes. One of the things that makes witnessing difficult is trying to speak for somebody. Forget about somebody else's story. Speak for yourself. Tell your story. Say what you have experienced. What happened to you? That's when you realize the only people who have nothing to say are the ones who have nothing to say because they have not met him. When you don't have anything to say, don't rejoice so quickly, because it's often a sign that you probably have not met him. When you don't have anything to say about him, if you don't have anything to say about Jesus, you probably have not met him. I'm not saying you didn't go to church. I'm not saying you're not a member of a church. I'm not even saying you didn't get baptized or confirmed or anything like that. I'm just saying that if you met Jesus, you would have something to say about him. Is it not true that if you met Pastor Paul, you would have something to say? Like his new goatee that he has. That's, at least you remember that. Anybody who is truly saved can at least talk about their salvation. So he said, we don't know, he's of age. Ask him, he shall speak for himself. So verse 22, they went back to the boy. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said to him, give God praise. We know that this man is a sinner. All right? Verse 20 next. And he answered and said, look, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. You know, I don't want want to be a judge of whether he's a sinner or he's not. Don't get me into all these doctrinal arguments and don't get me into all these things. I don't need to know all these things. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. You know, most of you have a testimony like that. Most of you have a testimony. Most of you can say what this boy just said. Most of you can say, once I was blind, but now I see. As long as you have things in your past that you're not proud of, that is the first sign that once you were blind, but now you see. Because when you were blind, you were proud of those things. You shamelessly followed ladies. Just walking. Not even watching where you're going. Having your eyes fixed on their bottoms. And just moving. You know. Just moving through the malls. You would spend all day at the mall eyeballing ladies. And you couldn't understand why you used to get C's and D's. You couldn't understand it. It was rocket science to you why you were not doing well in school. When a large portion of your time was spent just checking out the opposite sex. And now you look back. And you are thinking, what was wrong with me? You're just thinking like this boy. You're saying, once I was blind, but now I see. And that is enough. You see, this boy doesn't have any testimony. The people want to get him into an argument about, you know, doctrine. Sabbath day, what is the Sabbath? When does it start? You know. One brother was telling me that his mother is an Adventist, and he invited his mother to their church, and the mother would come to the church, and the bishop over there preached. When the bishop preached, the mother was so blessed, and she would keep coming. Then one day the mother told the son, you know, your bishop, man, he can preach. He's so good. He just has the day wrong. Because the Adventists believe that the Sabbath day is Saturday, so church must be on Saturday. And this bishop is preaching on Sunday. And she would come to the church on Sunday, and every time she came, she was so blessed. She just kept coming. You know, she just wished what she was getting on Sunday morning could move to Saturday. And that wasn't happening. So she told her son that, look, your bishop, right? He preaches so well. He's so powerful. He just has the day wrong. Some people are debating days and so on. I have a friend who was telling me the other day, I told him I was going, I think it was Christmas or something, and I said to him, we're having Christmas service. He said, by the way, do you know that the Christmas service, that Christmas day is not when Jesus was born and all of that. I just said, look, you name any day. We'll just go and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be December 25th at all. We can even celebrate the birth of Jesus now. We just have to read John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only, which day, whether it was Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, Thursday, God gave his only begotten son. That's what matters. You can celebrate that any day. It's good for celebrating any day that God gave his only begotten son. It doesn't have to be on December 25th at all. It can be on any day. Any day. Any day. Don't allow people to draw you into useless arguments that have nothing to do with salvation. Do you understand? This boy said, look, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. What I know is what I can tell you. Whereas I was blind. That's my story. I was blind and now I see. You can't take that away from me. You can't take that away from me. Then verse next. They said to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? How did he open your eyes? Then, next one, please. He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Do you want to be his disciples? If you want to follow him, just follow him and stop asking me stupid questions.
That's all. You're preaching.
Wow. Listen. It's time for your testimony. It's time for your witness. It's time. You don't have an excuse. People who say that I don't know enough verses. That maybe I cannot preach like... One day somebody told me that, you know, he said, I cannot preach like you, you know. So you don't have to preach like me.
That's all. Amen.
I'm a preacher.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
If you can't preach like me, it's not a problem. It's like me saying, I can't golf like Tiger Woods, so I won't play golf. That's his job. Anytime I go to the golf course and I don't play so well, I comfort myself. And I say, look, those who really know how to play this game, they get money. If any of them came here this afternoon, you'd get something for it. Nobody's giving me anything. I'm having to give something to play this. I'm going home. I have to encourage myself. You have to encourage yourself. You have to encourage yourself. Listen, you can be a witness. You can tell your story. And you'll be amazed how much power is on your side. He said, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. God is counting on you to tell your story. God is not expecting you to explain any complex things. God is just counting on you to tell your story. For some people, their story is just as simple as the peace they felt after someone prayed with them. Like one of the guys who was sharing their testimony, he said after that, he just felt something had lifted off him. He doesn't know what it is. Something had lifted it. What I can tell you is that there are many people who would appreciate it if something was lifted off him. Many people are carrying things they can't explain. They don't even know what they're carrying. They don't know why they do what they do. They don't know why they behave how they behave. They don't understand it. They don't know why they get depressed. They don't know why they can't snap out of it. They don't know. They have attributed it to seasons and different things. And it's the, you know, it's allergies. It's different things. It's the changing from winter to spring, and then from spring to summer. Hey, if I'm going to have to change my mood every time the season switches, I mean, people have spiritual battles, they just don't have the vocabulary to explain it. You know how patients can go to a doctor and the doctor is asking what's wrong with you, and the doctor says, I just feel something moving from here. What do you think is moving from here to here? There are no cars in your body. But you're talking like that because you're not learned, you're not trained in the language that is used to describe what is happening to you. But someone who is trained in it knows exactly what is happening. Do you understand? They know exactly what is happening. You can be a witness. No excuse for not being a witness. Tell somebody, my excuses are done. Tell them, today, I'm done with excuses. Hallelujah. You can be a witness. God is counting on you to be a witness. God is counting on you to tell your story. God is counting on you to tell somebody what he did for you. The change that has occurred in your life. Someone could use that change. And if they won't listen to you, don't worry, because the Bible says they missed. Why? Because one thing they could be sure of is that the kingdom of God came near them. Hey, you know, that really excites me, that I'm a walking kingdom of God. Yeah, I'm a walking kingdom of God. You are a walking kingdom of God. Demons are afraid of you. Yes. Evil spirits are afraid of you. Evil spirits, they don't dare come near you. Yes. Evil spirits hover around people when they know the people don't know what they are carrying. Yeah. You wouldn't be afraid of a little kid who has a gun if he doesn't know it's a gun. But if you see one of those thugs coming your way with a gun, you're going to run away from them. Because you know that they know what they are carrying. And they know what they can take. You know it. That's what makes you afraid of them. Demons are afraid of people who understand the power they carry. Yeah. Demons are afraid of people who know what they have. They only dance around people who have no clue what they are carrying. And often, if you don't go, you see, it's in the going. When they went, they said this, when they came back, they said demons were subject to us in your name. In Acts chapter 10. When they came back, they said, Lord, we were shocked. We were shocked that we would pray for people in the name of Jesus and demons would just be gone. We didn't know all these things. Then Jesus said, hey, don't get too excited about that. This is normal. Relax. He said, rejoice rather that your name is written in the book of life. That should make you happy. But also demons coming out of people, that's just common in your ministry. It's just daily practice. If you go, you're going to see the power. Amen. Yes. I dare you to share your story with someone this week. You know, this is Founders Day season. Founders Day for us is May 14th. And for us on Founders Day, or around Founders Day, we uphold our founders' ideals and values. And our founders' values are soul winning and church planting. Do you understand? So we have ushered ourselves into that season, starting today. Amen. Amen. And I dare you to share your story. Just share your story and test how powerful it is. Tell somebody, today I want to tell you about my encounter with Jesus. Just tell them, I'm not going to preach to you because I'm not a preacher. I can't even preach. I don't know how to preach. But I just want to tell you my story. I want to tell you what Jesus has done for me. And start telling them your story. Do you understand? Start telling them your story. Start telling them what the Lord has done for you. And watch how powerful it is. Watch God get behind your story and use it to transform somebody's life. How many are going to try it? This week. You are the kingdom of God. You are the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is coming. Yes. I tell you. You have a roommate, he doesn't know he's sleeping right next to the kingdom of God. Yeah, the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I just hope this makes sense to you. Amen. Stand to your feet and bring the service to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. Close your eyes with me, everybody, as we pray. Today, we want to close the service by giving you an opportunity to know Jesus if you don't know him. Giving you an opportunity to have a story, your own personal encounter. You cannot go on very long on other people's stories. But you can have your own story about your own personal encounter with Jesus. See, I know people who go to church because their parents took them to church. And you can flow around and walk around the church following your parents around for years and years and years without meeting Jesus yourself. And many times when people say that I was in the church or raised in the church as a kid and they grow up doing something else, the reason is because they never really met Jesus. Because there is no one absolutely who meets Jesus for real whose life is not affected and transformed by Jesus. Today I want to offer you an introduction to Jesus. I want to offer you an opportunity to meet Jesus. To meet Jesus. Not to join the church. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus. Excuse me. Now, while every eye is closed, everybody close your eyes, please, and observe a personal time with the Lord. If you're watching us on the internet, this is your opportunity also. Right where you are, I want to give you that opportunity also to meet Jesus. To meet Jesus. To meet Jesus. Just talk to him. Say, Lord, I realize I don't know you. The evidence of it is how that I don't have my own story. I don't have a story because I don't have an encounter with you. But today you can fix that. And if you're here this afternoon and that is your situation and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want to give my life to Jesus today. Whether you're listening to us, watching us, or you're right here in this room, today is the day of salvation. Today, you can be truly saved today in the name of Jesus. And if you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to know Jesus and have your own personal story, I want to give you that opportunity to give your life to him today. And I'll ask you while every eye is closed just to raise up your right hand just to say, Pastor, include me, because I want to have this relationship with Jesus today. Is there anyone here like that who needs to have this relationship with Jesus? I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody here like that? Anybody here who wants to give your life to Jesus? You want to be sure that if you were to die today, Jesus, who is the Savior of the world, will save you from hell. He's not called Savior for nothing. A Savior must save people from something. And Jesus came to save us from hell. To save us from our sins, because our sins only take us to hell. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. And so today is a day of salvation. Today is a day, a good day to know Jesus. It's a good day to give your life to Jesus. Is there anybody here like that who wants to give your life to Jesus today? Thank you, Jesus. Right. So I want everybody then to join me as we say this prayer. If you're watching us online, join us as we say this prayer together. Right where you are, you can know Jesus. Say with me, Lord Jesus. Say, I know that you died for my sins. And that there is salvation in no other name except your name, Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me. Say, I acknowledge I am a sinner. And you died for my sins. So please come into my life. Forgive my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and my very personal Savior. Today I begin my own encounter with you. Lord Jesus, make me a child of God. Say, please write my name. Say, please write my name. And tell him your name. Say, my name is. Mention your name again. My name is. Please write this name in your book of life. I want to be sure that I am a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Say, devil, you and I are dumb. Today I belong to Jesus. My life with Jesus begins today. This life belongs to Jesus. It does not belong to you. I will not serve you. I will live for Jesus the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Are you blessed today? How many are glad you came to church today? How many are going to be a witness? You're going to be a witness. You're going to tell your story about Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated, please. Now, we want to receive communion, right? Okay. Let's have communion.
Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. This cup of blessing that we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. And this bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal that came down from heaven. And it will sustain you, it will heal you, it will give you life. When I see the blood, over you. Oh, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Jesus said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. Amen. So communion is an opportunity for intimacy. Amen. With the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. And today as we receive communion, I want you to believe that more than ever, God is coming close to you. Hallelujah. He said, you have no life in you if you don't eat and drink this. This is the way to live. This gives life. This will extend your life. This will deliver you from sickness. It will deliver you from things that cut short people's lives. Because the life is in there. He says, unless you eat and drink this, you have no life in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the life that is in communion. Thank you for the bread. Thank you for the wine. Thank you for the body that was broken for us. Thank you. The Bible says the chastisement of our peace was laid upon you, Jesus. That because you took the things that were supposed to be on us, we get to walk freely. We get to walk without those burdens because you took them for us. We thank you. We pray, Lord, for your blessing upon this. Lord, we know it's just mere bread and wine. But when you transform it, it becomes life. It becomes life. It overcomes death in us. And thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Bless it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Take the bread, please. Take the bread and say with me, the body of Jesus Christ. And you may eat it. Then you can open and take the wine and say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink.
So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Sing it again. So I'll cherish. At last I lay down. Lift up your hands, everybody. Let's pray. Father, today we lift up your people before you. And we thank you for the blessedness of communion. And thank you that the power that was released by Christ going to the cross is released in our lives today. The power that overcame devils and demons, the power that overcame even death, by which Jesus rose up again to overcome death. Who has heard of such a thing, that a dead man will overcome death and rise up? But yet Jesus rose up from the dead to prove to us that between life and death, anything that represents itself as a power can be overcome. And so today we thank you for the power that overcomes sickness, the power that overcomes depression, the power that overcomes poverty, the power that overcomes insanity, the power that overcomes unexplained circumstances, things that are too strong and too mighty for us, oh God. Thank you for exposing us to the power that overcomes all the power of the enemy. Today we declare that whatever hand the enemy has in our lives, whatever Satan is up to in any area of our lives, we terminate that hand in the name of Jesus. We take his hand out of our lives. We remove his hand from our marriages. We remove his hand from our lives. We remove his hand from our finances. We remove his hand from our health. In the name of Jesus, we declare our lives and everything that belongs with us out of bounds to the hand of the enemy. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The things that have caused our heads to be bowed down, those things will not cause us to be bowed down anymore. We will not bow down to those things. We are walking back home, heads up, chest out, knowing what is on our side, knowing what belongs with us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. In this coming week, Lord, we ask, Father, for an opportunity to tell our stories, an opportunity to share with someone what you have done for us, an opportunity to tell the story of our encounter with Jesus. Lord, whether it's on the plane or in the office or at school or in the shopping mall, wherever it is, we ask, Lord, for that opportunity. Somehow let the conversations lead to that point and give us a chance to tell our Jesus story. In the name of Jesus, we pray, oh God. We thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. So I'll cherish the old till my trophies. Father, we thank you again for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Please be seated.